Good morning.
I have to say, I pulled a switch on you. You were probably expecting to hear Papa this morning, and you're probably like, oh, what in the world? We read the sheet, and it was Papa. So I thought, since the last time I spoke was January 1st, and some of you were like, well, I'm only partying all night, so I don't want to hear him, so I can get out of that one. You're kind of stuck, because I was supposed to speak on another holiday, which is next week, which would be April Fool's Day. but I decided that might not be good. So anyways, if you came expecting to hear Papa, next week he will be ready to present the India trip, which I know we're all looking forward to, and Stevie and him continue to work on putting together that presentation, which we're excited. So for one more week, bear with me, and then Papa will be up here next week. I tell you, before I get started, I never get nervous speaking. Preaching doesn't make me nervous, but walking down these steps when you're doing the Lord's Supper makes me petrified. It's this last step right here. I thought I was going to roll my ankle, and I thought, wouldn't that be great? So getting up here is a lot easier than preaching for me. What I want to talk to you about this morning, and this is not going to be a surprise to some of you, I've gotten from movies. If you're in our high school class at all on Wednesday nights in the last 4 years, you'll know that me and Dave like to use movies as our lessons. We've watched a lot because we seem to be able to get a lot of lessons out of movies. Right now we're in the process of teaching out the movie Courageous, and it's been something that we've really realized it helps the kids focus in class. For years we're like, why won't they listen to us? We get halfway through class and they're staring off the ceiling, they're sleeping, they're talking, they're texting, we threaten to take their phones. But with this whole series of watching about 10 minutes of Courageous and then taking a lesson from it, we've realized that they're paying attention a lot more. And it's actually been exciting. I've actually been excited on Wednesday nights to go to class, which has been unusual for a while. Because for a while, I was like, oh, I'm going there, they're going to talk, they're not going to pay attention. I'm just going to stand up there for 45 minutes and yap to the wall. And Dave usually leaves class. He's like, oh, I got to go deal with some kids. I'll be back. And 45 minutes later, he shows up. So this morning, my lesson actually came from, I was sitting in a theater, and it's unusual that I go to the movies now because I'm tired of paying high prices. I went twice in a month, which is unusual, and I realize that I don't go because of that. And I spent like $11 to go see a thing that I could probably see for free sometime later. But I saw two movies. The first one, you're going to laugh, and that's where I got my inspiration for this lesson, came from a cartoon movie called The Lorax. That's a Dr. Seuss movie. I love animated movies. But here's the question I want to ask you this morning. And it's going to be our whole lesson based on your life. Is it what you thought it would be so far? Let me say that again. Your life. Is it what you thought it would be so far? Interesting question, isn't it? We're all at different ages. But when you ask yourself that question, is it what you hoped it would be? Are you happy with your life? We have two choices. Either we can do the things to make ourselves happy and proud of our lives, or we can do things that make us look back at our lives and wonder, what if? It's a tough thing. I look at my life, there's things I've done, I'm like, well, I'm proud of that. And there's things I've looked at my life, and I think, well, you know, I'm not so proud of that. But one thing I always wonder is, when I die, will I leave a mark? A couple weeks ago, Blake did an excellent lesson, and he mentioned some people. One of them happened to be my father, in his lesson about people that were influenced on him. I hope one day when I pass away that somebody can mention my name as someone who changed someone's life. Not that I want the credit, but that I live my life so that when people look at me, they say, you know what? He lived his life and did things good. Not to say that we went on to accomplish things that are maybe worldly, and we were the richest person in the world, or we were the strongest man in the world, or we were the owner of a Fortune 500 company, or we started something. But to have somebody look back and say, you know what? His life was something I wanted to model myself after. So that's what we're going to look at this morning. Two movies that I saw recently, The Lorax and Act of Valor. And from that, you're going to get your lesson this morning. If you haven't seen it, I promise not to spoil them. I'm not really taking them. But they do have two actual quotes from them that I'm going to use. The first one is from the movie The Lorax. And then I'm only giving you the trailer. So if you saw the trailer, if you read the book, I'm not giving you much. The Lorax is about a town who has lost all its trees. And this one little girl wants a tree, a real tree. And she is so determined, this little boy is in love with her, that he's like, I'm going to find this tree and plant a real tree. And in the process, they meet this old man called the Onceler. And the Onceler has the key to how they get these trees, because he was alive when the trees were. But here's the deal about the Wantsler. The Wantsler is going to be one character we're going to look at, and then the person that acted Dollar's other. The Wantsler lived in this little tiny shack, well, weird-looking shack. You know Dr. Seuss. Nothing looks right in Dr. Seuss. The people look weird. In this house, and he's a grumpy old man. He's lived in his house all alone for years. He's got a long beard. You can't really ever see him. He only peeks through a little crack in the wood. And so when the boy gets there to ask him about how to get the seed to plant this tree, he's real grumpy. And as the story goes on, we find out that the Wantsler at one time knew how to get these trees. But then he got greedy with it and started using the trees for their what they made, just to make stuff, like their leaves made stuff, fur or whatever. Weird, it's Dr. Seuss. But he got greedy and he cut down all the trees and there were no more trees. And now, years later, he looks back and he starts to regret his life. And here's the quote. Outside his little house on a stone is the word unless, in capital letters. U-N-L-E-S-S. Unless. And at the end, we find out. Here's a quote from Dr. Seuss, straight from the man himself. Which, by the way, I've always pictured Dr. Seuss as the Cat in the Hat. And recently, he had his birthday. And I saw a picture, and I was like, dude, that ain't the guy with the Cat in the Hat. I don't know why, but my growing up, Dr. Seuss was that cat in the hat that wrote books. So, he wasn't in the movie. That's kind of sad. I walked out in tears. Now, here's what it says. Unless someone like you cares a whole awful lot, nothing is going to get better. It's not. Here's a guy who realized that he didn't care enough about what he was doing at the time to realize the effects in the future. And when he looked back on his life, he was grumpy. He was sad. He was mad. He had nothing to show for it. When he was doing what he was doing, cutting down these trees and getting all this stuff, he was real rich and popular. But then years later, he has nothing to show for it. He lives in a barren land, no trees around. He's by himself. Matter of fact, the other people live in this made-up city that's built inside these walls that you're not supposed to get out of. And they are happy, but he's outside there, forgotten. No one really knows him. Matter of fact, only one person knows him, and it's an old lady in the movie, the grandmother of the little boy. And so here he is, and he's in his life, and that's what he's come to. And he has a stone, unless. And that's his reminder every day if he looks out. Opposite side. Movie Act of Valor. Not going to spoil it. Obviously, you've probably heard about it, someone about the Navy SEALs. In that, a guy writes a letter, one of the Navy SEALs. And if you've not seen it, see it. It's worth seeing. It's really good. It kind of makes you appreciate our soldiers a lot more. In it, he writes a letter, though. You know, people write letters sometimes in case they ever pass away. They give it on to their kid. Well, he wrote a letter and gave it to his partner, his friend. And at the end of the letter, he used a quote from an Indian, a Native American Indian. And I cannot pronounce his name. It's like Tecumseh or something like that. I probably butchered it, but you get the picture. Here's what it says. When it comes your time to die, be not like those whose hearts are filled with fear of death, so that when their time comes, they weep and pray for a little more time to live their lives over again. In a different way, sing your death song and die like a hero going home. I want to read that to you again because I want you to really catch it because this is powerful. When it comes your time to die, be not like those whose heart are filled with the fear of death, so that when their time comes, they weep and pray for a little more time to live their lives over again. In a different way, sing your death song and die like a hero going home. Isn't that awesome? How many people, when they get to the point where they have no more life, they say, I wish I could go back and change things. I wish I could do it over again. I wish I would have done things differently. And here's what this Indian saying. This is what this man's leaving for his child. Live your life like your death song. Every day, do something that when you die, you're a hero going home. Pretty powerful. And so, we have a contrast. Remember what I said? Your life, is it what you thought it would be? Are you living a life that's going to end up leading you to be like the Wantsler? Are you living a life that's going to end up being like what this Native American Indian chief, or whatever he was, said? Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 21 is where our main passage comes from this morning. It's long, but Paul is going to write everything I said in this passage. It's like I called him up and told him to write this. This is going to fill in. But you got to pay attention. And if you have your Bibles, follow along because it's a lot of reading. But listen to what I just said and listen to what Paul's saying. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through the faith in Christ, the power of his resurrection, and the participation in his sufferings. Wait, I skipped one, I'm sorry. The righteousness comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already attained all this, or I've already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us then, who are mature, should take such a view of things. And if at some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join together in following my example. Brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that we will be like his glorious body. Think of what Paul's saying. Paul's saying, I want to live my life to honor who? I want to be an example, but an example to show you who. I want to do things in my life that glorify Christ. I want to be an example of Christ. And I want you, as he's talking to them, to look to others who are those examples. See, Paul doesn't sound like somebody that when he gets to the end is going to say, I wish I had done it over. To me, at this point in his life, he sounds like, I know what I want. I know what my goal is. I know where I want to be. And I'm pressing on toward that. But you notice who his focal point is? Is Christ. For us in this audience, we all love God. We all love Jesus. So for us to be successful in life, for us to live a life that we want people to look back and say, you know what, they've lived a good life, where should we be putting our focus? Is it on earthly things? It says down here in the passage, says, there are people who are enemies of the cross who focus on the earthly things. But at the end, are they really going to be happy? When the time comes at the end, are they going to look back and be like, I wish I would have done it differently? Paul is somebody, we're going to look at two more passages of Paul. But here's two passages of Paul, and it's kind of summing up what I just said. Acts 20, verse 24. You don't have to flip there, it's real short. By the time you get there, I've already read it. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying the good news of God's grace. Paul has a plan. Paul knows what he wants done. And look, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, 6 through 8, he says, for I'm already being poured out like a drink offering, and at the time of my departure is near, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to those who have longed for his appearing. Paul had a plan. And it sounds like when Paul died, he was content with it, wasn't he? I finished the race. I finished the fight. I'm now going to obtain what I wanted to obtain. So, as we look at these two, in your spiritual life, in your walk with Christ, in your church life, are you the onceler from the Lorax? Are you living your life like the great Indian chief person said? You're living your life each day knowing that when your time comes and you're ready to go obtain your prize, for those of us who have Christ in our lives, are you ready to go and you won't look back and say, I wish I had more time on this earth? My dad had told me at one point when he was dying that he was ready. Ready to go. He told me, he said, I'm at peace. I can go now. There's a song, Because He Lives, in our song books. Matter of fact, it was a song I was going to use at his funeral, but I changed my lessons. I got there. And it says, I fought the final fight with pain. And that's how I want to live our lives, that when we come to the point where our time on earth is done, that we're not looking back and saying, I wish I had time. Verse that John read should be your verse for this lesson, and maybe your challenge. Listen to what it says. Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. If you want to live a life that's successful, it's simple. Live your life in Christ and do things that honor Him. Because if you do that, I guarantee you, when your time on earth comes to an end, you'll not look back and regret it. You might not have everything that the earthly world says you need to have, but who cares? Those people can't pack that up and put it in their grave and take it with them. As much as I know we'd love to take the stuff we've earned, we can't. And I look back at my life and I think about earthly things that I've obtained. I'm like, I remember a stereo I bought when I was in high school. Or maybe it was right after high school. Boombox. I mean, they didn't make those anymore. I had the CD player on top and the two cassettes. I was like, yes, you can record. I can borrow tapes from somebody to record. I was like, this is awesome. And I could play the CD player at top. And at the same time, we carried our big sleeves of CDs around on mission trips. We remember those times. And I was like, I earned that. I worked one summer with my dad. And that was my stereo. And a piece of junk now. I have a lot of stuff in my closet that's junk, but I spent my money on it. I was so proud of it. But I promise you, if you invest your time, your effort, and your life into things for Christ, when you die, they'll go with you. My poor stereo is not going with me. A little sad about that. So my challenge to you this morning is simple. How do you want to be remembered? Remember the question. Look at your life and ask yourself, am I living a life that I hoped I would? And the good thing about it is, it's never too late to start. It's never too late to start. Paul says, forget what's behind and press on what's in the future. So that's your challenge this morning. Now I'm going to take a different twist. Usually on invitations, I usually offer the standard one, but I'm going to go to another. And I told Dave this on Thursday night at the hot dog place. I said, I wish I could just play this. In the movie Courageous, I found the perfect invitation. And I want to share that with you. Now, it took me a while because I had to stop, rewind, and write down exactly what was said, because I don't ever want to butcher what somebody else says. I can butcher my own words, but what somebody else says. And in this scene, you have two people. You have Nathan, the black cop, and you have David, the young cop. And if you've seen the movie, you'll understand. And they're at a gun range, and they start having this conversation. And I'm going to read 90% of that to you, and that's the invitation. Listen to it. And I'm not going to say who it is because back and forth, but you'll get it. Starting out, David says, I'm tired of feeling guilty. Nathan says, you are guilty. One day, you, me, and everyone else will stand before God, and He will do what good judges do. Well, I hope my good outweighs my bad. That's not how it works, and you know it. The Bible says God is a good judge and will punish the guilty, not for what they did right, but for what they did wrong. And then he goes on and tells a little story, but then he comes back. Because He loves us, He sent His Son to take our punishment that we deserve. But this only applies if you accept it. There's your invitation. I challenge you, and I've offered invitation. If you want to live a life worthy of at the end, saying you did what was right, accept Christ in your life, accept Him, know that He died for your sins, come forward and be baptized. If you're already a Christian, which the majority of us are, it's never too late to say, today is the day that I'm going to make my life something I won't have to. Hopefully you're not hoping that when you come to your time of death that you're hoping for more time. So whatever your need is, I encourage you to come together. We stand and sing.
You said you...